Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Friday, September 3rd, 2021. This is edition number 72 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me as we continue working our way through the sixth commandment. But let's pray first, and then we're going to consider question 68 again, and then look at just one aspect of larger catechism, question 135. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, as we come to your word again this morning, we come to this very important subject. We pray that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us insight and wisdom into your word, that you would guide us and lead us, and that you would work in us a greater maturity, that we might not break your commandments, and that we might walk with you. We ask for your help. Even now we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, today we're going to consider question number 68. We began to look at the exposition of the sixth commandment yesterday. We're going to consider question 68, and then I'm going to look at question 135 and just deal with one aspect of it, as we will be dealing with various aspects of it in the days to come. But I do want to just focus in on one area today, one of extreme importance for the Christian. So, shorter catechism, question 67, of course, is the restatement of the sixth commandment. And then question 68 is what is required in the sixth commandment. And the sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. Now, if you back up to larger catechism 135, you have a much fuller treatment of the duties required in the sixth commandment. And one, and those that I would encourage you to read through, pray through, meditate upon. There is many things here, but I want to focus in on just one aspect today, and that is that what is required from this, that comes out of, falls out from the summary statement of the sixth commandment, is that we are called to Christian love. We are called to Christian love. Now, this is not a subject that's easy to define, and it's not always easy to even talk about, because we often fall short in this area. We understand that the second table of the law is our duty to others, right? And the primary duty that we have is to love God and love others. And so I want to take this up in summary fashion this morning to cause us all to think about the quintessential characteristic, in my opinion, the quintessential characteristic of the Christian life, and that is to love one another. Paul says as much in Romans 13 and verse 10. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, what is very important to realize here is that that comes at the very end of the statements that he gives in verses 8 through 9. Where he says to owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Okay, he says that there in verse 8. And then at the very end of verse 10, he repeats that very thing. So everything he says here is framed by this fulfilling of the law, which love does. Verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, love is indeed a difficult thing to define. It is not the sentimentality that we see propagated in our world today. It is not the warm, fuzzy feeling that we might get when we hear a particular song on the radio. It is indeed much more than that. It is an action. It is a choice. It may not accompany warm affections necessarily for other people, but it is something that we do. And in most cases in life, we must choose to do what is right. And when we fall short with attitude, when we fall short with mind, we must plead for God's help and forgiveness. It's an area that we must be, we must have a heavy dose, a heavy outpouring of the Spirit of God into our lives if we are to love others the same way we love our own selves. And so the best place to show the description of love is given to us in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read the chapter. I'm not going to make too many comments on it, except at the very end, as we finish reading it. So let's just look at 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then skipping down to verse 13, we read, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And so what we have here is a very clear description of this subject of love, which is awfully hard to define. What we really have in 1 Corinthians 13 is a description of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he did when he came to this world, took to himself humanity, human flesh, and served. He served out of a heart of love for his people. All of these things can be said about him in complete totality, with no shadow of turning, no variation of change. In perfect righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ loved others. Now, why is love so vitally important in the life of the Christian? If we look to the letters of John in 1 John chapter 4, we read there in verses 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Then if we back up one chapter to chapter 3, beginning with verse 11, there we read, For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so John wants us to know that we are united to Christ, that we're walking with him, that we are in his family. And he says that in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death, that is bondage to sin, the state of being unregenerate with no hope in the world, into life, that is into the family of God. Because why? Because we love the brothers. Now, he goes on to say that if you don't love the brothers, regardless of what you have said, you are not in the kingdom. Now, I know those are hard words. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, these are the words of John. And they are very striking words, ones that penetrate into the very soul of any reasonable creature. We must take these to heart. We see how John connects the very words of the sixth commandment, and he places them over into this requirement that we have as God's people to love others, to love the imago Dei, the image of God in other people. But even more so than that, to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I'm a pastor of a church, and I know that it is quite true, and it is just part and parcel of living in a fallen world, whether we're the church or not, that if you put enough sinners in the same room, you're bound to have conflict, you're bound to have problems. Usually those problems, those conflicts arise when we want our own way and when our pride gets the best of us, when we refuse to deal with matters as Christ would have us deal with those matters. And that's when animosity is created. Bitterness begins to well up in our hearts. Our love for the brethren begins to wane. We must cut that off at the root because it's vitally important that we love one another. Now, that love, again, is something we have to choose to do because every one of us have people in our lives that are difficult to love. It could be a family member, a friend, whatever the case may be, we have them in our lives and we have to choose to love them. Now, this love isn't just ignoring their sin. Part of love is to not rejoice with wrongdoing, but to rejoice with the truth. Part of loving our brothers is to confront them when they are in sin, habitual sin. not doing it willy-nilly, not running around like a sin police, like the sin police of the church, but to prayerfully consider how you might encourage your brother and sister in their walk with the Lord. And sometimes that means confrontation. Now, I don't enjoy confrontation. I know some of my friends might think, might hear me say that and think that sounds strange coming out of my mouth. The fact of the matter is I really despise it in every fiber of my being. It gives me a stomach ache. But sometimes it's necessary. And we must be willing to do that if we really love our brothers and our sisters. We must do it with gentleness, with patience, with kindness, with great prayer beforehand. But we must do it nonetheless. Love causes us to overlook things. Too many times in the church, and I've seen this myself as a pastor, too many times in the church, people get themselves all spun up and worked up over something that is it's silly. Misunderstandings and minor things. Love can cover a multitude of sins. My friends, you are not a perfect person. I am not a perfect person. I make mistakes all the time. I fail. I fail my congregation. I fail my wife. I fail people on a regular basis. I don't like that. It's a horrible feeling. But the fact is we do fall short. So cut each other some slack. Recognize that we're all creatures of dust, and love can cover a multitude of sins. But if you find that it's impossible, that you just can't sleep at night because of this individual, then you have a responsibility in love to go and talk with the person with patience and gentleness. To fail to do that is to murder your brother. And we know that no murderer inherits the kingdom of God. And so it's vitally important that we recognize the significance of this issue as a requirement for the redeemed of God to love one another. This is part and parcel and summary of what the sixth commandment is teaching us when it says, thou shalt not murder. And so we must heed these things. We know that even Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, they're giving us the list of the fruit of the Spirit. He begins this list with the statement here, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's the first one. Now, I don't know if it's because it's the most important. I suspect that's the reason, if you compare that with what he says in 1 Corinthians 13. But regardless of whether it's first or not, we know it's vitally important. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So if you're growing as a Christian, then Christian love is increasing. Now, how might you accomplish that? Well, this is not natural. It's not natural at all. We love ourselves. We are selfish people by nature. All of us. There's no exception. In order for us to love rightly as those born of the Spirit, we must plead for His help. We must ask God regularly, often, to love. It is not natural for us to just go there. To love rightly, to love biblically, to love as we are commanded to love in a way that's useful for the people of God. We must be people that love one another. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. So until a Monday edition, when we continue looking at the sixth commandment, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk with Him. God bless.